You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, we're back. OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. You know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com today. Very, very happy to have in studio with us right now the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, Jim O'Neill. Jim, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to get the guys back in a couple weeks, and it's been a long off season. Looking forward to get rolling with them.
So the offseason comes and goes. Now, some of the things that have happened, the team made two additions on defense, Tremon Williams, Randy Starks. Let's start with the new guys. Tremon Williams, how important is his experience and durability, and what does he bring to this team at cornerback?
Well, first of all, just with the addition of both those guys, we talk a lot about playing like a Brown. You know, we talk about six attributes: accountable, relentless, productive, passionate, tough, and competitive. And the two guys we brought in both possess all those characteristics. But Tremon's going to be huge. I mean, to me, he's a do-it-all corner. He can play inside, he can play outside, he can play press man, he can play off man, he can play nickel if you want him to. He'll tackle. I think his experience and the big game experience that he has is going to be huge for our guys. And to me, he's going to be like Witt was in the safety room. He's going to be a guy like that in the corner room. I think Joe's going to be able to learn from him. I think that all our young guys, Pierre Desir, Justin Gilbert, Kaywan Williams, Robert Nelson, those guys are going to be able to pick his brain. When he was on his visit and I watched tape with him, it was like watching tape with a coach. I mean, his ability to be able to break down wide receivers and quarterbacks, formation tendencies and all that was very impressive to me. And he's a great guy. He's going to be a big player in the community. He's about the right things. He's a guy you cheer for because he came into this league as an undrafted guy, and he's kind of made a name for himself. So I'm excited that he decided to be a Cleveland Brown and join the dog pound.
I know it's all about competition, so he will compete, I would imagine, with Justin Gilbert, Pierre Desir for that job opposite of Joe Hayden. Probably has the inside track given his experience and what he's done in the NFL. If Justin Gilbert progresses like everybody hopes he does when you draft him last year, does that give you the flexibility to maybe play a Williams on the outside, Gilbert on the outside, slide Joe into the nickel? How do you see that all kind of working out? Because Kaywan played so well in there for you last
year.
Sure.
And again, you know, having too many good corners is a good problem, especially in our defense. But, if that were to happen, that's one of the things we want to do in year two is we want to cross-train guys inside and outside because that'll create identification problems for offenses. And we won't be giving away man zone tells based off of what coverage we're in. But, the best three will play. And if we got a fourth or a fifth one that deserved to play, we're going to play those guys too. So we all know it's a passing league, and you need guys that can cover.
And the Browns were number one in quarterback rating allowed last year, number one in passes defense last year under your tutelage. So certainly that pass defense, pretty good, and you're going to look to improve upon that this year.
Yeah, that's keep going.
That's right. And, Coach, the one thing that I, as a defensive guy, you know, share with the listeners, what percentage of the playbook you got into last year in year one, and now in year two, you know, you're going to have a lot of growth with a lot of the same players and adding some strategic parts with young and old players. What percentage of the playbook will be able to get into in year two under your system?
Well, I think we put probably 70 to 80% of the playbook in last year. I think that this year we'll probably be able to throw everything at those guys. But then last year, as we kind of figured out what we had defensively based off of the, you know, what players we were going to build it around, you know, that 80% came to 50 to 60%.
Sure.
The defense is going to evolve every year based off of who our best 11 to 14 players are. So our top three defensive calls that we called last year might not be our top three defensive calls that we called this year. We're going to have to see how the spring goes, who we add in the draft, and then kind of go from there.
Remember you said last year it'd take about six games to kind of get their feet wet and get comfortable, and the defense really took off. I thought the game against Indianapolis, one of the better defensive performances you'll see in the league. What are you looking forward to improving upon in year two, and how good can this defense be?
Well, I think we can be dominant. I think that, you know, I love the way we finished the year. One of the things I'm most proud of is that we continued to get better as the year went on, and I love the mentality that we finished the year with. You know, we were knocked out of the playoffs those last two games. I thought the defense really, really played hard. They finished. They played for one another. They played for the coaching staff. They played for the dog pound. So I was impressed by that, and I thought that that was a hell of a foundation to build off of going into year two. But, you know, to me, we talk about We want to be a cutting-edge scheme built around old-school philosophies. And in order to do that, you got to stop the run.
Yep.
We want to build a bully on defense. We want to be the team that nobody wants to play. And to build a bully, you got to be able to stone people in the run game. And that's where all of our focus has gone as a staff. That's where we're going to start day one with our guys when they're back here in 2 weeks. And we've attacked it. You know, we've had long days. You know, what can I do better? What can we do better as a coaching staff? How can we put these guys in position to be more successful? Because when you stop the run, now we can be exotic, and now we can go punish your quarterback. And that's what we're looking to do. And that's a step that we have to take in order to build that bully that we talk about in the AFC North.
And you bring in Randy Starks. John Hughes signs an extension. You're getting Phil Taylor back from injury. You're getting Armonte Bryant back from injury. The health there, also maybe you're going to get some assets in the draft. How do you feel about the personnel on that D-line today, and what does Randy Starks bring to the table?
Well, I felt good about the defensive line personnel going into the season last year. I think, again, Randy Starks is going to be a reliable guy. He's made the Pro Bowl 2 times in his career. I think he's only missed 4 games. In Miami last year, he was more of a first and second down player, and he still had 4.5 sacks,
yeah.
Which would have been at the top of our group with Ty Dez. So we see him as being a guy that can help us on first and second down and third down. He's a power pass rusher, which means he'll be able to push the pocket and get the quarterback off his spot, which is going to make guys like Paul Kruger, Dez, and Armonte and Mingo that much more effective, because those guys are more that are going to beat you around you. You know, he's going to get that quarterback off the spot and flush him to him. So, you know, and again, I'm excited about him mentoring the young guys in that room. So he's another guy I'm excited about. I'm excited about the 2 guys that we got. I think that Pet and Ray did a hell of a job bringing those 2 guys in.
Absolutely. And Coach, you said you're excited about this group in this defense in year 2. Besides the guys that we brought in, who are 2 guys that have been retained by the Cleveland Browns that will come back for next year that you're most excited about seeing them perform in year 2 of this system?
Well, I'm really excited to see Mingo perform in year 2. You know, he got dinged with that shoulder injury the second play of the season. So, and I really liked the way he was coming on in the preseason and through training camp, and that was just unfortunate. You know, I see him every day down there rehabbing his ass off, so hopefully he continues to do that and we get that thing back. So he's a guy I'm really excited about. I would say the next guy that I'm excited about, just because of how well he finished the year, is probably Pierre Desir.
Yes, I love him. I'm a big
really
fan.
Excited about him, and he's got such a pro mentality already for such a young guy. You know, we called on him at the end of the year, and he was a guy that we were kind of counting on just redshirting all year.
Sure.
He was a part of the 53, but he never would have been up on game day. And, you know, we had some injuries. We threw him in there, and he played really well. And, you know, one of the big question marks was he going to stick his face in there in the run game? And he showed that he would, and he did a damn good job at the line of scrimmage pressing some pretty good receivers. So, you know, if I had to pick 2 guys, those would probably be the 2 right now.
I love it. I get accused on this radio show being like the president of the Pierre Desir fan club. I think he's a great – came in cold, shut down Mohamed Sanu in the second half against Cincy, and then played as well as anybody against Kelvin Benjamin in Carolina. So, you're right. You can't have too many good corners. You have a lot of them. The one that gets all the focus, though, is Justin Gilbert. What went wrong for Justin Gilbert in year 1? What do you expect from him in year 2? And have you seen the pictures of him working out with Joe Hayden down there in Florida? And what does that mean to you?
I have, and I've been in contact with him and Joe. I think that expectations for corners in this league their first year are always a lot higher than what they should be. I can't remember a rookie corner that's had a successful season in his first year. I know nobody wants to hear this, but it takes time. It takes time to learn how to play corner in the NFL. Quarterbacks are too good. Receivers are too good. I think that Justin's going to have, you know, I'm looking forward to getting him back. I know he's working hard. I think it says a lot about him as a person that he sought out Joe Hayden, flew down to Miami, spent a couple weeks with him, worked out with him, picked his brain. So those are all good steps for him. You know, I'm looking forward to getting him back and see where he's at 2 weeks from now. But I'm very optimistic about Justin in year 2.
Coach, I know you said you're excited about Barkevious Mingo. The one thing I just want to kind of shine a spotlight on, having a significant portion of experience in a 3-4 defense, I know you've got to have those guys on the outside, you know, someone opposite Paul Kruger, that dual threat on the outside.
Right.
Beyond Mingo, you know, is it going to be via draft in most cases? I know we've got Scott Solomon as well, to find another threat in that front 7.
Or could Armonte
or Armonte move out there potentially to really create that dual threat, because Getting to the quarterback in today's NFL is the premium product when it comes to defense.
Yeah, well, you can never give me too many pass rushers or too many guys that can cover. This is a deep draft for edge guys. I've studied a lot of them on tape. I know our coaches have kind of pounded the pavement, and they've been out there working these guys out privately. I think Ray and Pett have been pretty adamant that if the right guy's there for the right price, we'll draft one. If we don't draft one, I'm comfortable with the guys in that position group. You guys brought up Armani. He's a guy that we are going to slide outside some on early downs.
Nice.
And play some outside backer for us, our rush linebacker position. I'm really excited about how Scott Solomon finished the year for us. And, we're still excited about Mingo, and Paul Kruger's coming off of his best season ever.
Yes.
So if we add a piece in the draft, that's great. If we don't, that's great too. We're going to play great defense either way.
Mike Penn talked about moving Phil Taylor inside to the nose tackle position. What do you expect from him there, since he played pretty much at the end position last year?
Well, we ask our guys up front to be flexible, just because, if you get motion or shift, or we just tell our guys to slide. So our nose isn't always our nose. Our three isn't always our three. We do play a lot of fronts, especially in our base defense.
Yes.
So
I noticed that, by the way.
Yeah.
I was like, I was trying to track.
Two linemen, three linemen, four linemen
in my career, and I'm like, geez, it's like every combination, they're standing up, they're moving out. Yeah. But that's a luxury to have,
we don't have guys that are
so flexible in that system.
Flexibility is huge for us, and we don't ever want an offense to be able to look
you
out
set the tone.
Defense pre-snap and say, all right, I know that they're in this. We want to dictate to the offense what's going to happen. We don't want an offense to be able to dictate to us. But with Phil, if we can get that big body in the middle of the defense rolling off and cutting a formation in half, that's huge. Because now our linebackers know that they can fly over the top because there is no cutback lane.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that we can do with Phil. He's been doing a great job in his rehab. I'm excited to get him back. But having Phil inside could definitely help our defense in the run game and also the pass game, because he's a guy that can push the pocket also.
We've talked a lot about the personnel. Let's talk about you. This is your second year now as a defensive coordinator. How much more comfortable are you at this point compared to where you were a year ago getting ready for this season?
I'm very comfortable. It's huge that our entire defensive staff's back. We've had a lot of guys that have had opportunities to move on, and I just think it shows the commitment to Cleveland that those guys wanted to stay, and they're committed to getting this thing turned around and making Cleveland a consistent playoff contender. And that's where we're going. It's fun to work with those guys. Whether we're in early in the morning before the sun's up, or we're here late at night after the sun goes down, we have a lot of fun in there. But it's very productive. It's hard work. There's a lot of coaches in there that are willing to think outside the box, take constructive criticism, grow. Our D-line coach can make suggestions to our secondary coach. Our secondary coach can make suggestions to our outside backers coach. So it's a very productive environment. I learn every day from those guys. I hope they learn every day from me. So, but as far as year two, I think that our chemistry will be better as a staff, just because it'll be our second year working together. I think that schematically we'll be better because we'll all be on the same page now that it's year two. It's always great when you can go back and watch something that you've done.
Sure.
Not something that the Jets or the Buffalo Bills done on tape. Hey, guys, this is where we struggled. This is where we had success. So you can study that with your guys. And then I think that coaching staff-wise and player-wise, in year two, we'll be able to go more graduate level. On the sideline at times, you kind of hesitated to make major defensive adjustments because you didn't want somebody to blow a gasket. You might have been confident that two or three guys could have handled it, but if there were one or two other guys, you were at...
You get the deer in headlight look like, I don't understand.
Let's make them out execute us, right?
Sure.
So, I think we'll be able to tackle that stuff in year two, and I'm excited. I'm excited for the group. I know they're excited because I got guys texting me already.
Right.
They're ready to get back and get rolling. And I'm in the process now of planning my first meeting, and there'll be some fireworks. It's good. I'm excited to get going.
Awesome. And Coach, my last question for you is: you created the dog collar idea last year. Is that something that's going to be retained in year two? For these guys.
That's a tradition now. So it's a system that we wanted to reward play like a Brown plays. That guy who's going to chase a play down for 60 yards, knock a guy out of bounds on the 1 yard line, and make him snap it on first and one.
Sure.
So that's kind of the culture we wanted to embrace, the one we wanted to create. I think the guys really bought into it. I still walk through the locker room. There's a lot of dog tags and dog collars hanging down there. I still have mine hanging on the TV in my office. And I'm looking forward to starting that. We're actually going to reward Dante Whitner with his trophy when he gets
nice.
Back.
Nice, for so, accumulating the most, correct?
Yeah, we got a WWF belt.
Yeah.
And it's going to hang above.
I
don't even know if he knows this yet. So it's going to hang above his
spoiler.
Locker, and we're gonna get his name engraved on it.
Nice.
And how many dog bones he earned, and it's going to be something that's passed down each year to whoever wins that award.
Very cool.
That's a very cool concept. Now, Coach Pettine has talked about how he wants to get more involved with offense, meaning obviously that he's certainly more comfortable with you. Do you kind of like that? You're ready to you know, kind of let him kind of mix around as a true head coach and let this is the Jim O'Neill show. Let's go.
Yeah, well, I've always thought that Pett had an unbelievable understanding of all three phases of the game. So I think that him being more involved in offense is going to help our team. He's still going to be there as a sounding board if I need to bounce a couple ideas off of him. But, you know, last year, about week four, week five, he really gave me the reins and let me go with it. So he's been an incredible resource for me. Hopefully he can do the same thing for Flip on the offensive side of the ball. I feel sorry for other defensive coordinators just because when you have that defensive perspective, you know the things that give defensive problems and how to beat defensive coverages.
Sure. Stress the D. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, when you understand it from a defensive perspective, it can drive you crazy. So I'm sure I'm going to go through a little bit of that this spring with him being a part of the
zone
offense.
Beaters. Yeah. And man
so,
beaters.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they got to come in and put a whole new offense in. You guys are going to be fine.
No, they're doing a great job. I'll tell you what, that offensive staff, they're working as hard as I've ever been around. If there's a staff on offense in the NFL working harder than those guys, I'd like to meet them. So Flip's doing a great job with those guys on the other side of the ball.
Coach, thanks so much for the time. Final one, if there's a message you want to send to the Dog Pound right now about what the Browns' D is going to be in 2015, what would it be?
Just as a team overall, we're going to surprise people. And on defense, we talked about Bill and the Bully, and Pett talked about willing to bloody your nose in the AFC North. We're going to be a tough defense. We're gonna knock people down. We're not going to help them up. We're going to stop the run. And I'm going to say that again. We will stop the run next year on defense, and we're going to earn the right to rush the quarterback. And when we do earn that right, we're going to hit teams' quarterbacks.
That's what we're
going to be about defense. But we're going to build a dominating, intimidating group that the Dog Pound can be proud of and that they can go crazy out on third down for.
This is going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait for that. Defensive coordinator of the Browns, Jim O'Neill, thanks so much for the time. Best of luck. And we got to get you in here. You're a natural. You're a media savant in here. Good stuff. So thanks so much, Coach, and best of luck to you.
Thanks.